All right, so I want to bring a teaching called Life in the Ecclesia, or Ecclesia, however you prefer to pronounce it. And this is going to be kind of a 10,000-foot view. It's not a real detailed teaching on the subject, but I thought, as a body of believers, I'm online with my brothers and sisters. They're listening in. Then we're going to have a discussion about this afterwards. I thought it would be good to go over some of these basics, because life in the body of Christ, the ecclesia, is new for a lot of people versus churchianity and versus just coming out of some people coming out of the world when they come to true faith in Christ. And just so everybody listening doesn't understand, that word ecclesia, that is the word church in, say, the King James Bible, and it means called out ones. So we like to identify ourselves not as the churchianity system with the religious buildings and denominations, but we are the called out one. So that's why we call it life in the ecclesia. It's the body of Christ. And that's what the called out ones of Christ, and that's what we're going to talk about. Again, this isn't exhaustive, it's basic, and it's a good reminder for us. So the first thing I want to talk about is Christ himself told us he builds his body. Matthew 16, 18 and 23. And he say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my ecclesia, the body, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I have to go to that verse real quick, because when I know it, but I don't want to quote it out of context. When I cut that scripture and put it in there, it didn't cut the part that I wanted for some reason. I was actually going to where, I'll take you there in a second. Let's see here. I wanted verse 18. Is that what I just read? I wanted to see. My paste and cut messed me up on this. Okay. Yep, I'm sorry. I actually wanted verse 18. I don't know why I cut 23 in there for me when I cut and pasted this together. So the verse I was going for was, I say also unto thee that art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my body. I thought there was some more in there going on, but there wasn't. So Christ is the one who builds his body. If you go read the end of Acts 2, it also tells us that God is the one that adds people to the body as he sees fit. And so that is not a work that we do. We can't add anybody. We preach the gospel. We help people, but we don't add people to the body of Christ. That is what God does. Next, once we're in the body of Christ via the gospel, check it out at don'tperish.com. Faith in Christ, when you repent his shed blood, you'll be made new. You walk in holiness and obedience. You endure in the faith. That's a work God does in us, and we work with him in covenant. That's the super short abbreviated version. We are called to love each other. John 13, 34, 35. And a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another. So we're called to understand God puts people in his body. And we're supposed to understand that we're supposed to be loving each other as a sign that we're his people. That's really critical. And then it talks about, one of my favorite verses we use, that we are to daily exhort one another. Verse 13 from Hebrews 3. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And then he says, we are partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So we're put in by God in the body. We're to love each other. We're daily to exhort each other lest we fall away into sin. Another concept that is important in the ecclesia is we're to speak the same things. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So we're going to talk about a little bit about speaking the same things, having the same mind. We're going to talk about that a little bit more at the end of this quick study here. And then partiality. This is kind of a warning sign, something that we should be warned of in the body. This is a danger. I've seen this in a lot of bodies, both in the churchianity system before I was born again and I was in there, and then in various fellowships that we've been somewhat involved in, never very deeply. And house churches have a lot of these problems. And that is treating people differently in the people that you're united to in a body than you treat other people. Maybe it's drawing close to people you get along with really good. Whatever reason. Could be your blood relatives you're drawing closer to. And this can happen. It's a real cancer in the body. And it could be anything. It could be maybe you spend more time drawing closer to someone you like and you get along with than somebody that's kind of, I don't really get along with them. You actually need what they have and they need what you have. And God asks us all to treat each other fairly with impartiality. 1 Timothy 5:21, Paul says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So we got to warn, guard against that, brothers and sisters, in the body. We got to make sure that we love everyone equally. We give our time to people equally, brother to brother, sister to sister. We got to make sure that we are exhorting, rebuking, correcting, encouraging. All of that needs to be done equally in the body, because hopefully, when you look at all your brothers and sisters, you love them all the same in Christ. Think about that. It's like if you had 10 children, you love them all the same. Hopefully you're treating them all the same. I know you have to cater with children certain ways, how you do certain things, but in general, hopefully you're not partial to your children. So those are just a few things that we have to guard against. Well, things we have to keep our mind aware of, loving each other, how we got in the body, exhorting each other, and then partiality. That's a big one that could be a danger. But I want to bring up some scriptures next. I could bring up a whole bunch of scriptures. This study could be very, very long. But I want to go to these verses from this section of scripture and just kind of take them apart a little bit and add a few thoughts to them, and then my brothers can go over it with me. Romans 12, and I'm going to go 1 through 16. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So a really important thing to know in the body is that we are living sacrifices unto Christ, unto God. And yeah, we're sacrifices and we're living sacrifices and servants to each other. We have to remember that. We're not just living sacrifices to God. We actually serve each other. And Matthew 20, 25 through 28, our Lord and Savior, one of my favorite verses I learned when I was a brand new believer. But Jesus called unto him and said, you know that the princes that the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That means servant. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom. So we see the total opposite in churchianity. The pastor, the reverend, they're lifted up, parking spots, retirement, separate houses, big honor, titles, all this stuff. We're all to be equal in the body, even though we have different offices, different callings, different positions, you might say, based upon our calling. We're all equal in the body. And so, as we said before, no partiality. And we all should be serving each other. So serving each other in the body, in the ecclesia, that's another very important area that we all should keep in mind. Verse 2 of Romans 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So I think that's pretty rudimentary. We all understand, people that are born again have been studying the Bible for a while. People in our body definitely know this. We live separate from the world, but we strive together as his people. And we know from these other scriptures I've been reading you what God's will is, and that is that we love each other, we're servants to each other, we're bonded together, we're in one mind. These are all just basic building blocks of the body of Christ, the ecclesia, that we want to keep are fresh in our minds. And a brother just said, we just did a study on prayer. A brother just said, we keep going over this, and it's always good to keep going over it. And we will always keep going over things over and over and over. There's nothing new under the sun in God's word. And so we have to keep learning it, and we keep growing in it. We keep maturing. Hey, we're being perfected in it. This idea of reading something one and done, that's foolishness. We live by every word of the mouth of God, and we mature in it as we go. So we keep reading and we keep studying it. Verse 3 of Romans 12. For I say to you, though the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt with every man the measure of faith. So there's a lot there, but what I wanted to pull out was being puffed up, prideful. I think I'm better than everybody else. I think I'm smarter. I think I do better at all this stuff. I'm got this or I'm that in the body. No, pride, according to Proverbs 6:17, a proud look is an abomination unto God. Now, the Bible does say we can be proud doers, but that's something totally different. We're doing it for the Lord. It's not puffing ourselves up. So pride in the body is something that we want to root out in ourselves first. And then, of course, in the body, we want to make sure that people that have that issue, we want to help them with that, because that leads to destruction and will destroy much. Go look up in the book of John, the letters of John, and look up a man called Diotrephes. He was a lording over, prideful leader, and he destroyed much, and he even kept men from coming to be near him. And we don't want to be that way as brothers or sisters in the body. We want to make sure that we're not walking in pride. Just another one of those things we want to root out of ourselves and the body. Verse 4 of Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So yeah, he talks about the word office there. There's one body, but there's many local bodies. So we got to get that clear. One body of Christ, universal. That's not the word Catholic means universal, but we're not Roman Catholic. Universal is the body all over the globe. And we're reminded that there's local bodies all over. Praise God for that. The remnant is scattered all over the world. We'd like to think of ourselves as the remnant. And then there's different roles in the body. He said offices there. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So I have a teaching on Ephesians 4:12. We just did it recently. You can check that out. The teaching blog at don'tperish.com. We don't believe there's true apostles and prophets like there was in the Old Testament or in the New Testament first century, but we believe that people are filling some of those roles, definitely evangelists, pastors, teachers. And so we have different positions in the body, so that's something to be considered as well. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. I think this is really a key point when we're talking about life in the ecclesia. I think everybody, even churchianity, understands that, you know, people that believe in Christ can be like members of Christ's body, and they think they're part of the body, even though they're keeping many false ways, they're not part of the true body. Being a member of Christ in the body, that's pretty simple, rudimentary. But I think it's often missed, and people will not catch it, when we learn, like from this verse, that we're members of each other. Maybe that's really rudimentary to some of my brothers and sisters, but it kind of hits me kind of deep. I think about being in Christ, of Christ, and then I think about being of each other. We're members of each other. So I think that's really a good thing to think about and to ponder, making us one. We'll talk about that. One-minded. That's the goal that the Lord has, so we'll talk about that as we get near the end. Verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy accordingly, to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. So again, not going into a long, long verse-by-verse study here, I picked out that word dissimulation. We're supposed to have love in the ecclesia, the body of Christ, dissimulation. Anupokritos. It means this, ready? In the Greek, sincere without hypocrisy. So our goal to love each other, we should be sincere with each other, and we should love without hypocrisy. Not like the Pharisees acted, lived, or loved. Jesus said in Luke 12:1, their sin was, their leaven was hypocrisy. But we're to love each other with a fervent, true, pure, worthy, non-hypocritical love that's worthy of our God, yeah, and it's also worthy of us who are called by his name and walking in the covenant. So think about that, loving without dissimulation. And then it says, we're to abhor, the rest of that verse, abhor which is evil, cleave to that which is good. 1 Thess 5:21-22. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. I like this part, ready? A lot of people miss this, myself included, for many years till I read it close and took it apart. Abstain from all evil? No, it doesn't say that. It says abstain from all appearance of evil. That means anything that even looks like it might be evil, abstain from it. And that kind of helped me and Sister Amen in our early walk, without any saints around us, avoid all kinds of evil. We're to flee all appearance of evil, and that includes in our private life, yep, and in our houses, like husbands, wives, children, and then, of course, in the ecclesia body life, we want to help people flee from all appearance of evil so we don't have pride, we don't have partiality, we don't have unbiblical love, love that has sin to it, hypocrisy, all those types of things. So fleeing all appearance of evil helps us maintain a pure body without leaven if we do it in all of our lives and help each other with it. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. So I have an article at the teaching blog on one anothering. You'd be amazed how many times it tells us to one another each other as the ecclesia of Christ in the New Testament. Go check out that article. That word affectioned, I'll just read what their definition in the Greek tells us. Cherishing one, kindred especially, parents or children, fond of natural relatives, that is, fraternal towards fellow Christians. That would apply in the body here, towards fellow Christians. Kindly, affectionate, and then it says the mutual love of parents and children and wives and husbands. So it's a love, affection, that bonds us together. In context, it would be for the saints, and it should be fervent love. It's loving affection, prone to love, loving tenderly. That's the way Christ loves his people. This is the way we should love each other. So it's another key point. And then we see that word preferring one another. What this just means is, it's interesting in the Greek, it says leading the way for others that is shown. Prefer. To go before and show the way. To go before and lead. To go before as a leader. So I guess if we're helping each other, we want to be examples to each other. And to be examples to each other, we're doing all the things that God's called us to. We're walking worthy, right? And so that's what this is talking about here. 1 Thess 1:7, so that ye were examples and samples unto all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So the body, the people, were being good examples of other people. And I think that's what it's talking about. Because if you think about it, if you prefer your brothers and sisters, you're not going to go and sin and stumble them. You're going to be an example. And they're going to look at you and they're going to go, wow, he or she's a great example. And so that's what we want to be about in the ecclesia. Just another one of these building blocks to it. Verse 11 and 12. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. There's that serving again. Rejoicing in hope. And so that word hope, I kind of pulled out. We can give each other hope in Christ. I like what a brother said the other day. He was working with a bunch of worldly people, which he normally doesn't, and just being around them, hearing their conversation, seeing their demeanor, he was saying how coming back and talking to true saints that love God and have come out of the world was refreshing to him. That was pretty awesome that he said that. So we can be refreshing to each other. We can bring each other hope, and obviously that hope is in Christ. We're all reflecting Christ. We're salt. We're light. Another thing that we should be doing in the ecclesia body to help each other. And then it says, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints. So we just did a teaching. Brother just brought a little teaching on prayer. So it's good to consider that. The body can pray together. and go before the Lord in thanksgiving, supplication. And then it talks about necessities of the saints. Giving in the body is a very good thing. We've talked about this before. It's needs-based. It's not just, we're all just giving our money away to give it away. It's based on needs and what people really need, and that's how the giving is done inside the ecclesia. We're always there to help people with true needs. And it generally is gospel-based. It generally is minimal life-based, and it's not about a bunch of things like, oh, your car is 5 years old, we need to buy you a brand new car. It doesn't work that way. We be frugal, good stewards of God's money, so we give on a needs-based area of giving. And then it says in that verse, give into hospitality. And if you look that up in the Greek, it just means entertaining strangers. And it's a requirement of elders, leaders in the body. Titus 1, verse 8. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. So having hospitality is a good trait to have if you're a leader, but it's a good trait for all of us to have. When people come to your house, you put on food for them, you put things before them. When you go to someone's house, you bring something as an offering. Everyone's practicing hospitality, giving to each other. It's just another trait that we have to learn, propagate, grow. And all these things I'm covering, these aren't just natural givens. These are all these things that we have to do, and we want to be diligent in them, and we want to propagate them in our lives, and we want to help others do them. You might be stronger in one thing, you can help somebody do that. You might be weaker in something, they can help you do that. That's how the body, hand, eye, nose, ear, foot, that's how we all help each other and lift our arms up. Verse 14 and 15. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Okay, this is kind of what brought me to this teaching. We recently had in our fellowship a couple instances of some rejoicing. We recently had two young people that are moving towards marriage. Wow, what a thing to rejoice about. And we had a brother meet a brand new brother face to face. And I just explained it to the body what I saw, and my wife, Sister Amin saw it, and we were rejoicing, the smiling and the peace and the inner joy that the Holy Spirit and Christ, and it's God that has brought us all together, saints. Some of us can go out and preach and we can tell the gospel, but none of us can take credit. It's God that brought us together, is knitting us together. And so it's a beautiful thing. I love the way it says that we rejoice with them that rejoice. I was rejoicing with this young couple. So was my wife. I was rejoicing with these two brothers. I think we all were like, not to get mystical, but we were like floating off the ground a little bit, just in our joy. We were just lifted up. And so that was awesome. But then there's that flip side. Weep with them that weep. And I know a brother that would say him and I have wept together and have struggled together in things early on. He knows who I'm talking about. And I think we were talking about the other day when we gathered, Job 2. I think this is a great example of this. His friends, Job's, sat with him long and they counseled him because he lost everything. He lost just about everything. Go read Job. You think you're having a bad day? Go read Job 1 and 2 and a little bit in. You'll see your life's not too bad compared to Job, but he stood strong in the faith. Let me read this. Job 2, 11 through 13. Now when Job's three friends heard of all his evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place. And then it says, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, they knew him not. It's kind of like they didn't recognize him. This guy was covered with boils. He scraped the boils off with pottery. Yeah, you can go read about all that. They lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent everyone his mantle, that's a tunic or a garment, a cloak, and they sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven. That's like kind of like the sackcloth and ashes type of idea, even though it wasn't sackcloth. It's to lower yourself, to show mourning, and they were mourning with their friend, and it says they went and sat with him a long time. We'll read that, but they're showing this grief and care and pain for their friend, in this case a friend, and I'm going to apply it to brothers and sisters, in a great time of need. Think about it. If you had a friend that was like Job, and he was just in sorrow, he lost everything, would you come humming and singing and whistling and go, hey, what's wrong with you? Snap out of it. Or would you lower yourself to feel that grief and that pain and maybe let them see how much they love you, and you're lowering themselves, and that will eventually lift them up as well. Of course, you're going to tell them about the goodness of Christ and keep your eyes on Him and all of that. But this shows our need for each other in the body, in the ecclesia, and that's why I want to bring it up. Verse 13 from Job 2. And they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw his grief was great. Yeah, I won't go into the details of it, but oftentimes, like when I run into homeless people, I'll oftentimes go up and I'll sit right next to them on the curb. And some of them can't walk very well. Some of them are cripples, truly cripples. Some fake it, but a lot of them are cripples. And I find like when you come and kind of lower yourself and sit down on the ground with somebody, they kind of look at you eye to eye and it like opens up the conversation. It's not like you're standing over them talking down to them. And so that coming down on the ground with them, that's kind of a little bit of a significant point. But humbling ourselves to be with our brothers and sisters is what I want to bring in this point. Rejoicing with them when they have a great thing. When they're suffering, weep with them. Go be with them and console them in that. Back to Romans 12, our last verse, verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. I was kind of surprised when I read through Romans 12 how much it had in the body life there. I always think of Romans 12 as don't conform, you know, you're a living sacrifice. And then as I read on, I saw all this stuff about the body life and it kind of inspired me. And so be of one mind toward one another. I read a verse about this early, being of one mind, but I'm going to read some verses here to finish this off that really kind of drive this home. And this is the goal in the ecclesia body, in the spirit, in the gospel, in Christ. This is what we need to be. Ready? 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 10. I'm going to read all 10 verses. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brothers, I think I said that right, unto the church of God, the body, the ecclesia of God, which is in Corinth, and them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call on the name of the Lord Christ Jesus, or call on the name of Christ, or Jesus Christ our Lord. I can't read tonight. By the way, that letter's written to everybody who calls on his name everywhere. It's not cultural. We like to drive that point home, the book of Corinthians. Both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ that was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless, that's like worthy kind of, and indeed it is, in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were all called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I like that. We're called unto the fellowship. The fellowship is the body of Christ, right? And so that's a glorious thing to think about. We're one of another, not just of Christ. We're also united together. And then verse 10, this kind of sums it up here, saints. Now I beseech you, there's that word Paul uses, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he beseeches us, brethren, in the name, you can't get a higher name than this, Lord Jesus Christ, that, listen here, listen up close, ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That little area of scripture is like a summation of what our goal is in the body of Christ to glorify God, that we study the word together, we pray together, we edify each other every day, we come together on lunch breaks, the sisters are always edifying each other. Why? We want to be this one. Have this oneness in the body of Christ and be perfectly joined together. No divisions in doctrine, no divisions in how we handle things, no divisions in when we go out in the world, how we preach the gospel, how we handle problems, how we handle sin and leaven in the body. We're united in one mind, the same mind and the same judgment. So that should be all of these points I covered. That should be the type of things that we want to focus on in the body. There's a lot more, and we're going to go over them as a body as we keep gathering, as we do daily. We'll go over more and more. Those are some good basics of what the body of Christ, the ecclesia, should be doing, those building blocks. And I hope these verses will both inform us and has formed you, as it forms me as well, to be healthy, godly, growing, loving each other, united as biblical people, all seeking, speaking the same things for the glory of the Lord and the King of Kings, who's coming back for us one day. So we are the model that the world will see, and they'll see our love for each other, and then let's walk in his doctrines and his ways. And I'm going to leave it right there. There's so much more I could say, but we will have a discussion about this with the brothers, and that'll be up in the Ecclesia gathering, and you could check that out. So we're going to go off this audio, and we're going to go to a discussion. Thanks for listening, everyone.